Live from downtown Lansing, it's time for the Griffin Grins Show. Ready to deliver a daily TKO. That's right, a TKO of talk, knowledge, and opinion.
Welcome to the Griffin Grins Show, 92.1 FM, the team. It's not Griffin, it's not Grins again today. I don't know where they've been lately, but I'm Mike Sadler. I'm here with Travis Jackson, and we're going to bring you a little thick and thin action this afternoon.
I'm just glad they let us back.
Yes, it's always good when you can spend an hour or two on air and not have anybody running into the studio frantically, cutting your mics off, telling you not to come back. So far, so good. We hope to keep that streak going. We're 3-for-3 right now. Maybe we'll make it 4-for-4 by 3 o'clock. I don't know, but we have a fun show for you today. What we're going to talk about, we don't really know, and that's what makes it fun. We will hit on a little bit of the one-and-done NCAA rule. Of course, we'll have some March Madness for you, some spring ball action. And at the top of the hour, we are going to get Keenan Wetzel on the phone with us to talk a little March Madness and his film career.
Yeah, Keenan's a very interesting guy, and he's a guy that, you know, does the scout team for the MSU basketball team, which he probably knows the opponent better than anyone because those guys study the film of the opponents and know their every move, know their tendencies, and have to play those tendencies and know the whole plan of the team. So I think it'll be interesting to get a take from him, you know, a guy that doesn't get the spotlight, but definitely knows a lot.
But he does get the spotlight a little bit when he's doing his film career. So Keenan's a director. He's done a couple small films, one of which is The Cager, which came out in the last month. I'm not sure how the public can see it, so that's something that we're going to ask Keenan in a little bit here. But sticking to March Madness, Michigan State plays Oklahoma tomorrow, Friday night at 10 o'clock p.m. I'm one of the people that has nothing better to do on a Friday night at 10 o'clock than to watch basketball, so I'm excited for that time. They're taking on the Oklahoma Sooners, a 3 seed in the East region. Oklahoma, 24-10, 3 seed. Michigan State, 25-11, 7 seed. Makes sense of that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think Big 12, you know, everyone was kind of a huge fan of the Big 12 this year and put a lot of stock in those guys, and they kind of went down early in the tournament, and you know, now seeing that, you know, Big Ten still hanging around with Wisconsin and Michigan State. But, you know, the kind of the thing that baffles me about this whole situation with Michigan State playing at 10 o'clock and UCLA and Gonzaga playing at 7 is that, you know, on the West Coast, they're going to be 3 hours behind. People are still going to be in work. And for some reason, they're not playing at the 10 o'clock spot. And, you know, now we got to stay up past our bedtimes to watch Michigan State. So, you know, it just kind of all seems a little mixed up right now. But I'm excited about this matchup. Couldn't be more proud of our team, and just really excited to see what they do with Oklahoma.
So for those of you that have not paid any attention to March Madness, that have been living under a rock for the past 2 weeks, Michigan State's in pretty good position. The East region, number one seed Villanova was knocked off by NC State, and Michigan State took care of the number two seeded Virginia Cavaliers. So if there was any region that you wanted to be in right now, it's the East region. And Michigan State actually has the best odds to make it to the Final Four per Vegas, per statisticians, people that for whatever reason doubted the Spartans at one point and now want to get back on the bandwagon. So this is going to be a big game. This is going to be a big game, and for the first time all year, I think people are putting faith in the Spartans. So how do they keep that chip on their shoulder?
I think it just starts with their coach, and we talked about this last time, you know. Tom Izzo does an amazing job of keeping the chip on the guy's shoulders, and I think that's kind of a Michigan State thing, too. You know, we pride ourselves on being blue-collar, and I think that's what the basketball team has done. So, and you got to look also at the way that, you know, Tom Izzo runs his program, and, you know, he gets guys, recruits that want to come there, want to be there for 4 years, want to do the whole thing and be a part of the whole experience, and I think that's kind of going the other way now, because you see guys doing a lot of bring guys in for a year, take a shot at the national championship, and then next year, you never know, you're bringing in maybe another class that's leaving in a year. And Coach Izzo has created consistency at Michigan State, and I believe is running you know, a program right, and I think it should be going more towards that this year.
So on one side of the spectrum, we have Tom Izzo's Spartans, and on the other side, we have Coach Cal's Kentucky Wildcats playing tonight at 9:45 against the West Virginia Mountaineers. That should be an interesting game. I'm sure there's going to be lots of fans without full sets of teeth watching that one. After that game, before that game, the Fighting Irish and Notre Dame take on Wichita State. I believe they're the Shockers. Yeah.
Wichita State was. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that game, but they absolutely handled Kansas, and I'm sure that messed up a lot of brackets. It definitely did for me. And you know, my brackets kind of got shook up, and I'm behind Wichita State right now because I think the way they took down Kansas, I think they're gonna have a great chance.
I agree. It's gonna be a fun game to watch. The other two games tonight, Xavier and Arizona. And with the Wisconsin Badgers, the only other Big Ten team still left in the tournament, the number one seed in the West region, taking on the North Carolina Tar Heels, a team that I'm glad we don't have to face because that never really works out well for us.
I think Wisconsin is a team right now that plays really tough. You look at Kaminsky, and he just kind of embodies what their whole team is, and, you know, that's a really tough spirit. And you kind of watch those guys, and you watch teams that are going deep in this tournament, and you can see teams that are having a lot of fun. And, you know, you can tell those Wisconsin guys are having a lot of fun, and that's really important, I think, going through the whole tournament is not having too much stress and, you know, staying loose and having fun. And you can see that with those guys. They're a fun team to watch.
They are a fun team to watch, and I wonder if there's still anybody with a decent bracket out there. I'm sitting here looking at this bracket in front of me with the 16 teams left. And the Midwest, the West, and the South region don't look too crazy. UCLA's in there in the South still as an 11 seed. Everything else looks pretty normal, maybe except for the Wichita State upset over Kansas. But then you get to the East region, and it's just wide open. You have the 8th seed NC State, the 4th seed Louisville, 3 seed Oklahoma, and 7 seed Michigan State. It's weird how March always favors the Spartans for some reason.
Yeah, I think the last good bracket, I read a tweet by ESPN, was out pretty early. I think it was, you know, kind of the round of 32 going to 16. They said their last bracket was gone, the perfect bracket. And, you know, it always gets frustrating. And I know for my bracket, those last three games on Sunday night just really killed me. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. And, you know, with your bracket going, you kind of become more of a fan of the upsets and you start cheering for those guys. But, you know, it's always fun to cheer for the underdogs. And with Michigan State being one of those underdogs this year, it's a lot of fun, especially the way they're playing.
And talking to a lot of people, they seem to fill out two brackets, one a serious bracket per se. You know, the one seed's going far, not a whole lot of upsets, and then a crazy bracket. And it seems like the best way to do this March Madness is just to fill out the crazy bracket and leave the serious bracket at home. With all these upsets, I don't think anybody in their right mind could have filled out a decent bracket without being under the influence of something. There's no way that you could possibly have all these upsets and be sane.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a two-bracket guy. I spend a lot of time with my one bracket. And, you know, I'm very loyal to that bracket. So, you know, I got to focus all my love on that one bracket. So I know there's some people out there that you can do like up to three, I think, in the ESPN and CBS polls. But I'm very loyal to my one bracket. And when it goes down, I go down with it.
Who are your final four teams?
My final four teams, I got Wisconsin, Kentucky, Louisville. Sad to say, didn't pick Michigan State. But and then I got Duke. I got actually Wisconsin over Kentucky in the final four.
Still in pretty good shape, man.
Yeah. I still got my four teams.
Still have all four.
Yeah. So
Iowa State killed me. I was an Iowa State bandwagoner. And they decided to leave early.
Yeah, but. Not good. Definitely could have been better there. I think the whole country is rooting against Kentucky. I think it would be cool to see history and see an undefeated team. But I don't know of one Kentucky fan. Granted, I don't know a whole lot of people from Kentucky, but is anybody on the Kentucky bandwagon?
Let me tell you, I was down in Louisville this weekend, for a friend's bachelor party, and Kentucky was playing down there, and trust me, there are tons of Kentucky fans, and they are everywhere. So when you get the blue going down there, you would have saw it. They're in strong force, and I think they love their basketball down there. I think they love Coach Cal and everything they're doing down there. So when you're around it, they're in full force.
Well, it's definitely been amazing to see what they can do with a handful of highly recruited freshmen each and every year. And this is something that we're going to touch on a little bit later in the show. The one-and-done ruling with the NCAA. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? How can we change it? Should it be changed? We're going to talk about that, and we'd love to get your input on this, too. So feel free to call into the show. Get your pen and pencil ready. Pen and pencil, unless you're going to write on your pencil with your pen. How about pen and paper? Or your iPhone.
Yeah,
your
iPhone. No one writes stuff down anymore, man.
Yep. Okay. So anyway, the number, 517-485-7925. Again, that is 517-485-7925. Get on the phone lines. Give us a call. We love interaction. We don't get a whole lot of it in our normal lives, so that's why we turn to radio. Call us. Call us. We're going to talk about this one-and-done ruling. We're interested to hear what you guys have to say. Again, Mike Sadler, Travis Jackson, coming to you from downtown Lansing on 92.1 FM. The team, stick with us.
Klein Tire is family-owned and operated for more than 50 years. Klein carries every major brand, Goodyear, Michelin, BF Goodrich, and Hankook, while specializing in American-made Cooper tires. Klein Tire is located at 1223 North Cedar, that's between Mason and Holt. Call 517-699-2372 to set up an alignment and get your car taken care of for winter. Mention this ad and Klein Tire will give you a free alignment with the purchase of four tires.
Jack Ebling here with my good friend Tom Crawford, Bluebelly Tom. Tom, there's no better place to spend a winter afternoon than the Bluegill Grill.
Absolutely, Jack. Fantastic food, great service, lots of friends and fun. What a great family atmosphere at the Bluegill Grill.
I can almost taste Grandma Warner's lasagna and the award-winning all-you-can-eat beer-battered cod beginning at 11 a.m. Friday. Or a great place to watch basketball, hockey, and more. It's the Bluegill Grill, where the lake is just a few tables away.
Looking for office furniture on a budget? Stop by the Office Outlet at 516 North Larch in downtown Lansing and save. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6. The Office Outlet has a huge selection of new and used office furniture from brand name manufacturers, all at discounted prices. Save 50 to 90% on used seating, desks, files, and more. The Office Outlet is your destination for office furniture on a budget. Visit us online at officeoutletyes.com.
The team, 92.1 FM.
I just want to tell you how proud I am that you're all Spartan.
Lansing Sports Talk Leader.
Welcome back to the team, 92.1 FM. This is the Griffin Grin Show, which is transformed into the Thick and Thin Show for the day. So we had a slight change of schedule. So first we are going to get Keenan on the line. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this one-and-done rule. Keenan Wetzel, Michigan State basketball, walk-on, maybe the best hair on campus. Keenan, are you with us?
This isn't Keenan.
Nope, do we have the, hold on, we need to flip these callers, I think. Is Keenan on now? To be fair to the other caller, maybe he did have the best hair in Lansing. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want
to. I'm not sure, but we're trying to get Keenan on the line right now. He was going to call a little bit later on in the show, but you know how those Izzo practices go.
You got to be where you got to be. You know, that's the big thing about college sports. You know, you're not on your time. You're on the coach's time. So I'm sure Coach Izzo's running it, and so we'll see. Maybe we'll get Keenan in here a little later. A little technical difficulties, but
Of course. It wouldn't be a typical Mike and Travis show if there weren't technical difficulties abounding. So we are going to get Keenan on the line, and then we're going to get back to our callers. I know that we had a couple phone calls, and that made me feel good. It was like having all the friends that I never had growing up. So we are going to get you guys on the air, we promise, but we need to slide Keenan in here when we can. So as soon as Keenan gets on the line, I hope he just chirps in.
I don't think they're going to chirp in. They're out there practicing right now.
All right, sounds good. So let's talk a little one-and-done rule here. So we got a little one done roll here. We got our first caller on air here.
Who are we talking to? This is really bad. These technical difficulties are eating us up. Let's talk about the one and done between us for a little bit and then kind of figure out where we're going. So the one and done rule, go ahead and describe it.
So the one and done rule is in basketball that they're requiring kids out of high school to go to college for at least 1 year before they go to the pros. And this is kind of, it was kind of a deal. I believe it's 3 years that you have to play football before you go. And the thing behind it is that you want to get people into college. You want to get them an education. And, you know, the 3 year rule kind of allows you to get close to that. But the one and done rule, it doesn't do that. You know, it brings you to college for a year. And we're looking at, a little infographic earlier today. That says that these guys be getting paid major bucks coming out of high school. And I just don't think that you should be not denying the people that chance, you know, the chance to make money out of a job of what they're doing. And I just think it's one of those things that when we've been playing, we've seen the struggles, you know, some of our teammates go through. You know, you don't got money to pay for the bills and do those type of things. And so I think that either we got to find a way to pay college athletes a little more to make sure that they're getting their bills paid, or allow them to go straight from high school to the pros, because that could be a huge money maker for them, and they can be able to support their family and help them out a lot. And I think it's becoming a controversy. I think it's something that needs to be at least tampered with. If you want to keep athletes going into college, I think that you need to be able to pay them a little more so they can support themselves, or you got to let them go to the pros.
Absolutely. And we were talking about Keenan Wetzel's fantastic hair before we had our phone difficulties. Now to somebody with a little bit more of a mediocre head of hair, Mike Griffith joins us, the host of the Griff and Grin Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good. Struggling a little bit to get these callers in order. I mean, there's just so many. I don't think this show's ever had this many callers. So,
like a bad snap, you know, you got to handle these bad snaps.
I think you're trying to sabotage us. You don't want us to take your job, but that's just my opinion.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just here in the Carrier Dome. A lot of people aren't happy to be here. The Spartans are happy to be here, but a lot of the support personnel, a lot of people have decided that this site is not worthy of an NCAA tournament regional. It's really not much of a destination location. There's snow on the ground, it's cold, it's windy, and the building is somewhat outdated. Even John Lewandowski has an issue with it. You guys know Lou. He doesn't have an issue with much, but he's got an issue with it too.
So my question to you is, if we're complaining about the cold and the location, should we turn this into an NCAA football playoff where everything's down south and the warm weather and it gives a home field advantage to half the teams?
No, I don't think so. You know what? I'm actually a proponent of the playoff taking place in campus stadium. I don't like this whole idea of these corporate sites, these sterile environments. Now, that said, I didn't have too much of an issue with Dallas. I mean, I don't know what you guys thought, but, you know, you played in Pasadena. And you played in Dallas. You played in Phoenix in an old Sun Devil stadium. What did you guys think about the three different types of sites that you played at the last 3 years?
You know, I never really had a problem with it, other than the fact that the fan base was always about 60-40 at best, the other team. And that's not a knock on our fan base, because I think we travel pretty well. But all these games have been close to the opponents that we're playing. So in Dallas, we played Baylor. In Pasadena, we played Stanford. Who'd we play in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl?
TCU,
yep. So all these favor the Southern teams in terms of travel. So that's tough, but I think that's one of the things that the college basketball regionals, the four regions, do well, kind of catering to the geographic location of some of the higher-ranked teams. Now, one of the things that we wanted to get into the show was the one-and-done rule for NCAA basketball on display at the University of Kentucky. Not something that we've ever really had to worry about at Michigan State. What are your thoughts on it? Where do you think this rule is going to go?
You know, I don't like it personally. I mean, maybe I'm more of a traditionalist. You guys know I've covered college sports for a a long time, I guess, going back to 1992. So, you know, I think it kind of makes a mockery of the student athlete. I mean, you know, and let's face it, you know, nowadays a lot of people, college athletes, and, you know, wonder how amateur they really are. You know, now there's going to be stipends coming out. You know, I saw that the average value of an education for Division I basketball players is $120,000 a year. I haven't heard that much from Michigan State locker room. I haven't heard too many Michigan State athletes complaining. I know last year Keith Appling said he felt good about the scholarship he received. I haven't seen the unionization talk at Michigan State like I did Northwestern, how that damn near wrecked that program, or maybe it did. I don't know. But I'm not a fan of the one and done. I'm not much of a fan of, you know, athletes being paid beyond the stipend, you know, that the NCAA is coming up with an extra couple grand a year, simply because, you know, I do think there's a value to an education, and I do think there's a trade-off. I do think everybody wins. I guess that's my take. I don't know. I hope I haven't offended you guys. I think you have a value. I think certainly the school, you know, benefits from you, but I also think you guys will benefit from being Michigan State graduates the rest of your life.
Oh, without a doubt. But the issue with the one-and-done rule is it doesn't place any value on this education. If you're allowing kids to leave after a single year of college when you're still taking a lot of your prereq courses, how does that say that you're valuing college when you're allowing these players to leave immediately?
I agree. I totally agree. I kind of like the way baseball does it. You know, don't they have to stay a couple years, then there's a draft, and then they can decide if they want to split or come back? To me, that's kind of fair. You know, I think that an athlete should have an opportunity to, you know, leave early. I don't think it should be, you know, demanded that they spend 4 years or graduate. But I think you should, you know, they should at least show, you know, that there is some effort towards an education. I mean, I think, like I said, what Kentucky does, you know, it makes a mockery out of the game. I mean, it's a niche. I don't think it's going to last forever. I think it's been exploited. You know, but even some of these places where there isn't one and done, guys, you've seen what's happened at North Carolina, the charges they face for some of these no-show classes. I mean, it's just preposterous. I mean, they make a mockery out of the education. Some of these schools, and I don't want to throw any names out there, but some of these schools that supposedly have rich academics bring athletes in and give them an entirely different line of courses, a different majors that you seem to see all the athletes going into. To me, that's also a mockery, and, you know, it's got to be up to an institution, you know, to maintain some integrity. Unfortunately, when there's a lot of money at stake or a lot of community pride in this sport, whether it be Kentucky basketball, you know, sometimes people are willing to maybe sacrifice some of that academic integrity. I mean, not maybe, but, you know, just look at North Carolina and Kentucky. Those are the two schools I'd point to.
So if you're a high-profile recruit coming out of high school, why would you not want to go to Kentucky? You play for 1 year, school's probably going to be easy, then you leave for the NBA and you make millions. It's the problem with the system, not so much Kentucky. The NCAA is doing nothing to provide an incentive for these kids to stay in college. Sure, you can get an education if you know stay there for 4 years, but would you rather have that degree or the $15 million that comes with a couple years in the NBA?
You can't change human nature, Mike, but I do think, you know, that the NBA should step up, you know, just like the NFL. You know, isn't there like a requirement? I believe it's 3 seasons, right, before you're eligible for the draft. Now, I do think what could happen is that, you know, the NCAA could, you know, perhaps, it's working in tandem with the NBA if they made it a 2-year rule. And you know what, kids don't necessarily have to go to college. They can go to Europe. I believe that's what Brandon Jennings did. You know, he just went to Europe for a year and played ball.
And a lot of them went straight to the NBA, too. You look at the LeBron James and the Kobe Bryants, and, you know, they're not helping this. They're not helping this completely bypassing college and going straight to the NBA. That's nothing that you see in the NFL. With football, at least, you need those years to build your body up to learn the game, because you can't get that at a high school level. But basketball is a little bit different because you can come out – and be right. Ready for the NBA after, you know, 1 or 2 years.
Well, you know, it's a democracy. There's a lot of freedom of choice in our country. That's one thing I like about it. You know, the professional sports leagues, you know, they're out there to make money. They're businesses. I don't know to what degree You can hold them accountable. I don't know if anybody's going to say they're not going to go to an NBA game because they're willing to take one and done. I mean, it's to everyone to their own devices to decide. You know, I think the NCAA is taking a step by paying stipends, though, so maybe it's not as need-based of a decision. But let's face it, there's always going to be kids that are going to come out early that aren't going to make it. We see it happen in college football. Some of your former teammates left with some eligibility remaining, and you know, where are they at now? It happens in basketball. You can look at the numbers before there was the rule for 1 year in college. There was, I want to say, 60 or 70% of the kids that tried to go right to the NBA didn't make it. The ones that did, though, kind of drew a lot of others to follow them. So I don't know what can really be done about it. But by the same token, I don't want to hear any sob stories, about kids that tried to make it, that left school early and, didn't make it. I mean, I'm not going to have much sympathy for him if he had the opportunity to stay for another year or 3 years and get an education.
So it's obviously an imperfect system. I don't know whether to put the blame on the kids, the NBA, the NCAA. I feel like it can be spread pretty evenly in this case. But how would you remedy this situation? What are one or two specific things that you would do to make this a little bit better for everybody involved?
Well, number one, the whole compliance issue is a bit of a farce. I mean, we've known for years that, they have, that there's supposed to be a standardized test that you're supposed to pass. Well, Derrick Rose never passed it, yet he got to play for John Calipari. I don't see where any penalties to either of those people have prevented them from having much success. So, number one, I think that there should be more stringent requirements in terms of compliance to get into college to make sure that these things don't happen. And number two, when there's a coach in charge of a program that takes a hit, how about he gets punished? Hey, there's a really novel concept for you guys. How about when people cheat that they actually get punished for it? I'm sitting here in the Carrier Dome where Jim Boeheim has reigned for over a decades. And there was an investigation going on for 8.5 years. And they found out that there was a lot of problems. Well, Jim Boeheim is already in the Hall of Fame, okay, because you can go in the Hall of Fame as a college basketball coach before the end of your career.
All right, well, that was Mike Griffith. Thanks for his insights. And I think he brought up a lot of great points on the one-and-done rule. And in my opinion, I think that, I think it should be a choice. I think it should be the player's choice, and whether they fail or not with going to the NBA, going straight to the NBA, or doing one-and-done rule there, I think it should be their choice. And he said he doesn't want to hear any sob stories, but I think they should have the freedom to do that. You could go to Europe, too, and that's another option. But I think the NCAA is worried that they're going to lose some of their best players coming through there, and they just want them, even if they can have them for 1 year. And I think you either got to make them stay longer, to have the education aspect of it, or let them choose to go straight to the pros. And I think you shouldn't deny someone the chance to go make money off a job that they're doing. So he brings up some great points, and appreciate him calling into his own show.
So it seems like in college basketball, you see a lot more true freshmen playing right away. I feel like you don't see as many players redshirt as you do for football. How would you feel about staying for 2 years?
I think it's just so hard. He brought up different sports, and I just don't think you can do that because every sport is so different. And, baseball has this huge farm system where you have to work to go through to get up to the pros. And, football, you're not going to be physically ready out of high school. So it's just not even safe. But basketball, I mean, some of these seniors could come out and play with these guys in the NBA, and they can play the game, and they can do it. So I just think comparing sports across the board is just, it's tough to do because that's just not even, you just can't do it.
No, every sport's different, and there has to be a different rule for every sport. So that's something that we're going to talk about more when we come back. Stick with us. We'll try to get these phones straightened out right now. Make sure that we get to your caller questions. 517-485-7925. Call in. You're listening to the Griffin Grin Show, 92.1 FM, The Team.
The Team, 92.1 FM.
A shot, score! Wow. And Michigan State takes a 2-0 lead.
Lansing Sports Talk Leader.
Welcome back to the Griffin Grin Show. I'm today's host filling in for Mike Griffith. I'm Mike Sadler, joined with Travis Jackson here. So a little bit of a funny story for our listeners now. We thought we were going to have Keenan Wetzel on earlier. We had a caller call in, didn't give a name. It turned out to be Mike Griffith. However, we didn't have Mike on the line. We had somebody else who we introduced as having the best hair in East Lansing, and it wasn't Keenan Wetzel. So we're about to strike out now, but I think we have Mike Griffith back on the line after I accidentally disconnected him. So we're going to try this again. Mike, are you with us still?
So this isn't Mike. No, just kidding.
Do you have the best hair in Lansing, though?
Well, I might. Yeah, I got the best hair in the press room because there's nobody else sitting here, really. Michigan State's actually out there practicing right now, and I'm working on a spring football story. I've got a Michigan State press conference I'll go to in about 20 minutes, though. And that's when I'll start churning out my Michigan State basketball copy. But I've got a little bit more on all this, all the weight that people either lost or gained. And I'll ask you guys about this. Connor Cook was talking about how he started cooking for himself now, and he's eating healthier, and he's no longer ordering out to Conrad's, and yet he's gained 2 pounds. So since winter weigh-in, so what does that mean? Am I to believe Connor's really cooking for himself and getting healthy? I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, I would, doubt that Connor would ever cook for himself, first of all. But the thing that people need to understand about these weights is the changes. We have the new weigh-ins on the new depth chart. But the last time that we stepped on a scale for, something to be published like this was either fall camp or right before the bowl game. So there's been, 4, 5, 6 months since these weights have been recorded. So obviously there's going to be a lot of change. A lot of that, the smaller guys gaining weight, a lot of that's muscle, a lot of the bigger guys losing weight, probably shedding fat. Some of the bigger guys gaining weight. I'm not going to speculate what that is, but weight changes are very common in college football. A lot of that's just a testament to Coach Manny. The spring and the summer are really the times to get your body right for the upcoming fall. So he's going to work with every player to kind of mold them to get them to their optimal body composition.
Yeah, it's so important with different weight gains, and coaches want you at specific weights. And I think even when you're eating healthier, if you're eating healthier and you're eating more and you're lifting weights really hard, you're going to end up gaining weight, especially for a guy who's 18 to 23 years old. You're going to get those gains, and you're going to be getting muscle mass and maybe even a little fat here and there. But just nutrition is such an important part of the process.
And another thing you need to take into account too, that just based on when you step on the scale, if it's the first thing in the morning, one of those 5:30 lifts, obviously you're going to be lighter than if you're in a noon lift group and you already ate breakfast and lunch. So anything under, 6 or 7 pounds is really negligible in terms of a weigh-in.
Okay, well, since I'm working on my spring practice stories now, you guys got to ask your questions. Now I need to ask you mine for my story. And Sadler, I'll start with you. I know that we talked to you on the program when you were a guest host with us. About this Hartberger guy. Tell us what, I'm going to put him as one of the players to watch this spring. Tell us what we need to watch, and tell us what kind of punter you think Hartberger is going to be for the Spartans.
Well, I think Jake's going to be a great punter for us. Tons of just natural ability. Raw talent, though. I'm going to actually leave from this show and go out to the spring practice and work with him a little bit. He has a huge leg, great frame for a punter. He's about 6'4", 210 pounds. Exactly what you want. We just need to make sure that he's consistent and ready to handle the elements. But as a punter, so much of becoming good is just being comfortable out in front of the crowd on game day and learning from the punts that you've already hit. So I didn't come into Michigan State as a great pooch punter. That's something that I learned from my experience on the field, learning from Aaron Bates. So I'm trying to, impart as much knowledge on him as I can before I'm actually out of here. So I would expect big things from Jake. Is he going to be amazing from his first punt? Probably not. I hope so, but it takes a little bit of time for these younger players to get acclimated. So I have no concerns about Jake. I'm sure he's going to do a great job for us. It's just really up to him how hard he wants to work and how good he wants to be.
All right. For you, Travis, you know, we hear all the time about Michigan State's depth on the offensive line, and certainly 2 years ago when you guys went to the Rose Bowl, that was key as you kind of grinded out the Stanford Cardinal along with many other teams in the second half with some strong finishes. There's a lot of young guys that Coach Staten is telling us could be in the rotation. Guys like Dennis Finley, Benny McGowan's a junior, Devin Salmon is a center, and then Machado. I guess I'd ask you to start with Machado. Tell me about that JUCO transfer, what you see in his future, and then who are some of these other young guys, and what do they do well?
Yeah, you know, Machado is a very interesting guy. Being a transfer, I think was like 240 pounds when he was at JUCO, and ended up, I think he's at 297 is his official weight right now. And he's one of those guys that he's just huge hands, huge body, really athletic guy. But, you know, when you bring these guys in, especially from JUCO, the toughest thing with them is, you know, learning the playbook. And, you know, and when you got to learn that playbook, you got to learn it fast. And you're so used to different things, it makes it tough. And that's what, you know, having 4 or 5 years really helps you do. And so he's had his redshirt year, and so this is going to be a big spring practice for him. And, you know, he's a bigger guy with a lot of raw talent that, you know, is kind of a road grader type of guy. So I think Coach Staten is definitely expecting big things from him, and I think he'll do well. I think Benny McGowan's another guy. You know, just kind of, he's a junior now, you know, he knows everything, and now it's just putting it out there and to effect on the field. And, you know, that's a big part of it, you know, psychologically being able to do those things. And he's a guy that's got all the talent, and he's got a, you know, a great head on him, and he's just kind of transferring those out onto the field. I think my favorite guy that I got to get really close with last year was Brian Allen, who I think is just going to be an absolutely fantastic player. I think he'll be playing left guard. And I think he's a guy that just really wants it. He's young, you know, he's humble, he's hungry, and he's a guy that's going to, I think, be a starter for us and, you know, played a lot last year, and I think he's going to be a really special player. So, you know, and then you got to look at Dennis Finley, who's just lengthy, another big guy that can play tackle guard. He's another guy that I think is going to help the team. And I think the huge thing last year is that we did get a lot of guys on the field, and you know, that depth is huge, and Coach Staten does a great job with that. And I think you're going to have your best offensive line in the Coach D era here coming up this year, and I'm so excited to watch those guys play.
Wow. That's saying a mouthful, Travis. I mean, these last 2 years, Cook hasn't been sacked very much. And Langford, of course, has had almost 3,000 yards. So to say that this could be the best, or that this will be the best offensive line in the Coach D era, that's really saying something. I guess my question that I have about this team, and I don't know if either one of you guys can really answer it. I think they got to answer it themselves, is leadership. And, Travis, you know what that's like because you had to step into that captain role last year after some incredible leaders were gone. Me and Sather, I've talked a lot to Mike about Max Bulla and just the presence I could see and feel, and all of a sudden he's gone. And, you know, then, you know, you and Shalik and, and Curtis had to be the captain. And we all wondered in the media if you guys were mean enough for that because you're all such good guys, such nice guys. Who could be some mean, tough leaders in next year's group?
I mean, you just got to look at Jack Allen. You don't have to look very far because, you know, he's a guy that he's a tough guy and he's a mean guy on the field. And I think he's been ejected from a few games. And so he has a lot of personal fouls. But, you know, other than that, he cares about his team a lot. I think the big thing for him is just getting out of his comfort zone and being vocal and, you know, taking control of those guys. And, I mean, there's no shortage of meanness on this team. And, you know, I think the big thing is, you know, on the defensive side, they're going to have to find a leader, you know, kind of in the back half that's going to step up and take control.
All right. Well, I'm good. See, now this is what I need to do. I just need to have, like, players host the show, and I can get great interviews like that. Not that you guys didn't do great interviews before, because you always did. And I will say that about this program. Michigan State athletes have been the best for me to interview at any of the stops I've been. And I don't know how well, if it's just that you guys are coached up well to be good interviews. I don't think that's it. I think it may be because you recognize what an important role you play as ambassadors for the school, how every interview you do
reflects on every Michigan State graduate. So you both do it well, and I know you're doing a great job with the show, and I really appreciate you doing it. When Grins and I are out of town, and I know the fans really enjoy the treat of you guys being on, they probably wish me and Grins were gone more often. So I'm gonna get back to work here and let the Thick and Thin show get back underway, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Griff.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So we are going to head to break here pretty soon. We have a couple callers. Stay on the line. And for the other people, they're thinking about calling in, do it. 517-485-7925. We're going to get back to the one-and-done rule. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I love that I can now play my music in the shower. Pretty cool. Thanks, Dad.
I'm glad I made that call to Headland Plumbing.
Call 1-800-HEGLUND.
Happy New Year from Grand Traverse Pie Company. In September, they introduced an expanded line of gluten-free baked goods, and people responded with enthusiasm, so they have more, including the mini gluten-free pies. Apple and cherry, handmade, fresh every day, shortbread pie crust, tart cherry or apple cinnamon filling, crumb topping, and sliced almonds. Also, they have the rich chocolate cream pie in a mini version, gluten-free, topped with a chocolate whipped cream, sprinkled with, you guessed it, chocolate shavings. They also have the gluten-free cream cheese brownie, rich chocolate brownie layers surrounding a luscious cream cheese filling. And oh, how about that cowboy cookie? That's gluten-free too. Chewy oatmeal cookie stuffed with nuts, coconut, and chocolate chips. Little hint of cinnamon in there, too. Gluten-free and loving it. They've got food menu items today also gluten-free at GT Pie, and that follows FDA regulations. Limited quantities are available each day, so ask about reserving your favorite and go to gtpie.com.
If you're a small business owner handling your own payroll, Simplified Tax and Accounting can help. We've supported the greater Lansing business community for over 65 years. Simplified offers the same services as the national chains. We're on top of the latest tax regulations and requirements, and you can speak directly to one of our licensed CPAs if you have questions. Stop by any of our 7 locations, including our new and expanded office in South Lansing, or call us at 882-2441 to learn how Simplified can help you. That's 882-2441 or choose Simplified at choosesimplified.com.
What a relief. The rotten egg smell from the faucets is gone. Thanks for getting that fixed.
I'm glad I made that call to Headland Plumbing.
Call 1-800-HEGLUND.
The team, 92.1 FM.
What the hell's going on out here?
Lansing Sports Talk Leader.
And we're back. To the Griffin Gordon Show, filling in for Mike Griffith. I'm Mike Sadler, joined with Travis Jackson. And we have a caller on the line to talk a little bit about the one-and-done rule. Who are we talking to?
Oh.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Hi. So, I've heard a lot. You know, I listened to probably too much sports talk radio, but, you know, heard many different opinions on how to change it. I know I've never heard those. Why not adopt something like NCAA hockey has? I'm not sure of all the nuances of their system, but what I believe happens is you're allowed to enter the amateur draft whenever you want. Say you're just out of high school, 18, you can enter the draft. I had a friend who did this. And NHL teams are allowed to draft you at that point. You're not officially on their team. You're just one of their prospects. Then it becomes a discussion between both yourself as a player, so a high school player out of basketball, and whatever NBA team drafts them as to what the next move is. Whether that's they believe it's a D-League move or go to college, it's kind of – it opens a more honest discussion. So I don't know, what do you guys think about doing something like that where players can get drafted straight out of high school by an NBA team, but if the NBA believes that college is a better place for them to develop as a player, they can send them there for 2-3 years, however many years they believe they need to develop, and then you take, you know, the salary cap issue out of it with the NBA draft and all these other things, and it really becomes more about the player development and what's best for the player rather than the player either making money or going to college.
I think that's an interesting idea there, and I think that's not too dissimilar from baseball too, right? I think baseball and hockey are somewhat similar in the system. Obviously, I don't know because I was terrible at both sports.
Yeah,
but
for the baseball rule, it's something like you have the option to go to the draft right out of high school. If you don't want to do that after high school, then you have to stay either your finish your junior year or your senior year or be 21 years of age. That's when you can like re-enter the draft for your second time, and then or a JUCO student. Right out of JUCO, they're eligible. So there's like three different eligibility rules, but the one and done. If you decide to go to college, you have to stay for at least 2 or 3 years or until you're 21.
Yeah, that seems to make sense intuitively to me. I'm not sure why that hasn't been adopted, though. Maybe just the NBA draft itself is too big. Maybe there's some love for, you know, having however many teams are in the NBA, 30 or so teams, you know, have that big draft like they do for the NFL. I don't know, but I feel like that makes a lot more sense than the one-and-done rule currently does. What do you think, Trav?
I think there's a lot of options for hockey and different leagues you can play in, so it kind of having that program have a hold of you and being able to send you where they want, where you're best developed, is very plausible in hockey and in baseball. But, it's kind of tough to do with basketball because, there's the D-League and then there's the NBA. I just think you also lose. I think we're talking about this rule because you lose kind of the education aspect. If a team's just sending you there, they're just sending you to play basketball. And I think we're losing the education aspect of everything. If you want to go and do a job like playing in the NBA, you should be able to do that right out of high school. So I just think it's tough, but it's really good for the hockey. I just don't know if that works with the different leagues in the NBA.
Again, it seems to make sense to me. If it hasn't been adopted, then there has to be some kind of reason why. But very good insight. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. We're going to head to the break at the top of the hour. When we come back, we're hopefully going to have the best hair in Lansing on the show, Keenan Wetzel. But with the way the first hour is gone, anything could happen. It is March, after all. Madness. Stick with us. Mike Sather here with Travis Jackson, filling in for Mike Griffith and Steve Grinzel on the Griffin Grin Show, 92.1 FM, the team.